question for you. I'm sorry.
Tracy, I have a question for you about these sexual harassment lawsuits. Are you, Tracy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I would like to know more about the process. So a member of the staff or somebody in the station claims that they are being sexually harassed or harassed in some other way. Does it go immediately to a lawsuit, or is there an internal process in the station or in Pacifica that can be used to head off a lawsuit? In other words, a resolution process within the station. How does that work? And if you know, what were the processes in these two cases that you reported as being settled? What I'm driving at is, do we have to have within the stations and within Pacifica a better process for handling these harassment accusations that will prevent them from going to lawsuits?
Yeah, certainly.
I know you specifically asked Tracy, so I mean she could go ahead and respond. You know, okay, right. That's what our racism, sexism, and discrimination committee is working on in terms of setting up some kind of guidelines for staff and including volunteers or anybody who's associated with the. With each of our radio stations, like how do you file complaints? How are they dealt with? How can everybody receive training so that we could all be on the same page in each of the stations and know what to do? And then so we are looking at software that staff can utilize just locally within each of the stations to do their self training. You know, you just plug in and then you sign off that you've had that training in specific areas. And it's really, really key because we've had nothing but lawsuits centering around any of those topic areas, sexism, racism, or discrimination. And it's becoming really a nuisance because it's eating us out of house and home. And so if everybody who's participating, whether they're unpaid or paid or whatever, within each of the stations, it would be good for them to at least receive training and then to know what the policies and procedures are. So how do you file a complaint? And we're writing this document right now, and it's just huge, and trying to narrow down on it to send it up the line through to governance so that they can look at it, and then we'll go from there. Yeah, so it's in the hopper for me. You may want to add some more to it.
You know, to what you said. I mean, yeah. That's all true. I mean, the short answer is, yeah, we need to improve the policies and procedures. I would say that a personnel policy of the Pacifica Manual is way overdue. The manual goes back to 1993. It was lousy in 1993. It's 2010. It's utterly inadequate. Well, it was... It was inadequate in 2010, it's inadequate in 2011, it's not enough. That needs to be redone, and, you know, it can't happen fast enough. That is two of the three pending suits. There is one related to WBAI, which is fairly small scale, that hopefully will be resolved this year. In terms of the questions about why, as I said, I think the inadequate personnel policy is a big part of it, because you take that thing into court, and it doesn't really hold up very well. The other issue is we haven't followed it, even as it reads, when these cases have actually happened. We haven't gone through the steps as indicated on the personnel policy. So we are guilty of, A, bad policies, and, B, not following our own bad policies. And that's when things catch up with you. There's no doubt. The Cathcuda case was settled on fairly positive terms. The Orozco case, maybe not so much. But that said, they all cost money, no matter how they end up. And it's really unfortunate that we had a blizzard of these over the past 5 years. I hope that's coming to an end. But again, the redo of the personnel policy, and I think on the KPFA level, which is, of course, all we can affect here, there is a motion to that effect today, and I hope that we'll pass it.
Okay.
Dan, a question and a comment. Tracy, could you please tell us what Pacifica agreed to pay out in each of those cases?
I'm trying to, I don't believe at this point I can do that. Certainly on the Orozco case, I cannot.
Yeah.
It's too close. It's too close. There's still paperwork going back and forth.
Okay.
On Cathcuda, it may be possible, but while I hate to sound like a weenie, I feel like I need to check before I release that level of detail. So if you want, I will ask a question of counsel and then send it out if I'm clear to do so, because I just don't know.
Okay, and my comment is because I'm familiar with both of those cases, and I think a lot of the problems stem from lack of continuity in leadership and legal counsel. The Orozco case basically is a case alleging that Lemlem Regio, as KPFA station manager, retaliated against Maya Orozco when Lemlem criticized her work performance, her tardiness, and her absenteeism. And Ms. Orozco alleged that the reason that Lemlem did this was because previously, as in several years earlier, Ms. Orozco had made complaints about a fellow employee in the apprenticeship program claiming that this other woman employee who touched her buttocks on two occasions, did so in a harassing way. This is all public record, Tracy, so it's not
I'm
not
a little cautious about doing this, honestly.
Okay.
They're liability
issues. So that's what that case is about. The Cathcuda case, Ms. Cathcuda was actually employee of WPFW and had applied for a promotional position in the news department and was turned down, and she alleged that, notwithstanding her ongoing employment, that the reason she was turned down was because of her ethnicity. And the person she made that claim against was Ron Pinchback, who, as you probably know, was fired from his job last year and may not have been available to assist in the defense of the case. But I was involved in both of those cases and really thought very little of the merits of either of them.
Okay. Thank you. I want to respond to Tracy's concerns about the PMB committees. At our January meeting, we filled our responsibilities. Let me say that this is, of course, the first time I've been through this, but so my understanding is we have to provide two members for the Audit Committee, the Finance Committee, Governance, Programming, Affiliates, Sexism and Racism, Technology and Elections. Is that correct?
Except for Finance,
yes. Except for Finance, yes, we only have to provide one. Barbara. Okay. So we did most of that in January. This week was the first time that I understood that the PMB secretary had not received the information. I forwarded the information to her for all of the positions that have been filled. We do need today to fill two, if possible. I mean, I don't know how you do this, but anyway, two people for the audit committee, one person for the affiliates committee, and one person for the technology committee. There are two people signed up for each of the other two committees. And the secretary of the PMB has that information. So when we are done with the PMB report, then I will take up the issue of filling those committee positions. All right? Okay, anybody, any other questions on the PMB report? Okay, good. Then we'll deal with the issue of the committees. So Like I said, we need to find two people for the audit committee, one person for the affiliates, and one person for the technology committees. Okay? Do you want me to tell you who's already on these committees? Barbara Whitman is our one person on the finance committee. Richard Phelps and Mal Bernstein signed up for governance. Hun Mi and David Gann signed up for programming. Cynthia Johnson signed up for affiliates. Hun Mi and Andrea Turner are on the sexism racism committee. Henry Noor is on the technology committee. And myself and Anthony Fester on the elections committee. So now I'll start at the beginning again. And because I prefer to do this by volunteers, I will ask, are there any people who wish to volunteer to be on the audit committee? Man, that's a popular. Come on, you guys. That's where you get to learn about all the dirt, for God's sake. And you can ferret out things that shouldn't have happened. And you can, you know, it's like. I know. They won't let Barbara be on it. Anthony wants to be on it. Thank you, Anthony. Okay. Anybody else? Well, I don't know how you make people do things they're not willing to do. It's a funny thing. Anybody else? Okay. affiliates. Cynthia Johnson is currently our one member on the affiliates committee. We need someone else. Jack Kurzweil's volunteering for affiliates. Thank you, Jack. And technology. Henry Noor is the only person currently on the technology committee. We need one more person for the technology committee.
I would think so.
Electricity believes in you.
Maybe so. I've never seen it.
No volunteers for the tech. Okay, I'm going to volunteer for the audit committee. Okay. So I will be the second person on the audit committee. And so that only leaves us. Our only blank spot is the technology committee. And Henry apparently is the only person who feels confident that he knows enough about it to volunteer for it. Anybody else? Going once, going twice?
Okay. Volunteer David Gans for it?
He already volunteered for programming. We can't volunteer. Okay. Okay. The barrier to entry.
Technology is conflict.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me. Can you talk on the mic? Because there are people like myself, old as we are, and cannot hear.
Okay.
So,
good.
Thank you very much.
People will talk when they're recognized, and they'll talk on the mic. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forward this information to the secretary. I'm going to tell her that as of this date, we don't have a second person for the technology committee, and you are all going to go home and search your souls and figure out which one of you is going to volunteer to be on the technology committee. Okay? Barbara.
I just wanted, could you read the whole list once
again? Okay. Shoot, Barbara's requesting
that. I'm asking that you read the whole list. I'm trying to keep my own little notes.
Okay, here we go. Audit, Anthony Fest and Margie Wilkinson. Finance is Barbara Whipperman. Governance is Richard Phelps and Mal Bernstein. Programming is Hun Mi Kim and David Gans. Affiliates is Cynthia Johnson and Jack Kurzweil. Sexism, Racism, and Discrimination is Hun Mi Kim and Andrea Turner. Technology is Henry Noor. Elections is Margie Wilkinson and Anthony Fest. Okay.
I'm going to tell Tony.
Okay. So that's it. We're moving on now, okay? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What do I do with my agenda?
Fundraising committee.
So I was not at the last fundraising committee. Will somebody who was, I had the worst, world's worst cold, and will somebody who was there please report? Okay, Cynthia's volunteering to report. Thank you, Cynthia.
Everyone can help with my memory. Andrea was there. Mal was there. Who else was there? Susie and David, yeah. And what was the main thing we talked about? We're still talking about somewhat about an endowment, somewhat about the major donors. and trying to just get out more to the community. Do you, somebody want to add something to that?
We're following up on the possibility of doing something with a couple of cultural institutions in the city, and we're following up on the question of having a series of fundraisers for major donors, the first being at Margie's house.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
We are very drawn to the idea of raising money for specific projects because some people have advised us that that's always a good hook. But I have brought up a couple of times that that has some problems in that it's been known in the past that stations have raised money for a specific project, but the money just gets rolled in to the same pot as everything else. And if you don't protect it, you're going to have trouble because you're promising donors that you're going to do something like what? Put solar panels on the roof? Well, if we're going to raise money for that, we need to make sure that it is not accessible to pay salaries or electricity bills or phone bills or any of those things.
April, March 30th. Is that right?
Yeah, March 30th.
March 30th. The next meeting of the fundraising committee is March 30th. And
5:30 at the station.
Yeah, and I'll put that out on the list. Okay, any questions for the fundraising committee? Okay, thank you very much. The next committee is the personnel committee. At our last meeting, we sort of reconstituted the personnel committee and... I don't have that list in front of me, but it's got its seven members, whoever they are. And Khan took responsibility for trying to call the committee together. We know that the committee has an important job now because the interim general manager who we met this morning is interim, and we need to begin the process for hiring a permanent general manager. So I'll just ask Khan to report.
Well, there isn't much to report. I put out a proposal for a meeting, and I got no response back from anybody. So I think what I'll do is I'll do that again. I think it's really important. I mean, we have an interim general manager, which we didn't have anything to do with hiring. In theory, you know, there are two real things this LSB is supposed to do. It's supposed to do the budget, and it's supposed to make recommendations on the general, on the station manager. Those are the two things that it's supposed to do. We got the first one, the budget. Well, we never did do a budget. Two, and we were cut out of the loop for the station manager. So I think we need to reinterject ourselves into this process. We know how to go about doing it. The last personnel committee did a good job. They came up with a bunch of candidates. They interviewed them, made recommendations, etc. I think we have to start the same process again. And so I think what I will do is, if people don't object, this is not me taking over the personnel committee. I'd really rather not. But that I will put out a call with maybe a bunch of dates, and let's just see if we can't get an agreement for a meeting and to sit down and start talking about how to redo the process. Okay?
Okay, and I've been provided the list by the secretary, and so I just want to make sure that the people who are on the committee know they're on the committee and are still willing to serve. So Sharam, okay, Anthony. Renee's not here, but Khan can check with her. Khan, Tanya.
Yes.
Dan Siegel.
Yes.
And Andrea Turner. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so now we are ready to move on to... report from the Outreach Committee, although I don't know, is there anybody here? Oh, Cynthia, I guess you're the Outreach Committee.
I think they're meeting once a month. I don't see Corrine here, but this is an open committee, so so we get mostly the people who are doing a lot of work on that are a number of Corrine and Rick from Walnut Creek, and I think they were calling out that KPFA events, We have another meeting the first Wednesday in April. Probably the rest of your talks. We'd like Carrie Core to come if she could. I think she hasn't been able to come.
What was that date again, please?
First Wednesday?
First Wednesday in April.
April something. So I think we're making a small presence, but I guess we need to have a much bigger engagement.
It's the 6th, April 6th.
April 6th, then.
I just have a question about that.
I would prefer not to come to all these meetings, but I have offered to come to the outreach events, but I haven't heard of any, so I would like to be put on that list, and I'll volunteer to, but I just don't need a lot of extra meetings.
I'll give you Rick Sterling's email.
Okay. Anything else on outreach? Andrea? No? Oh, no. I'm sorry?
Yes. I have a, we need to do something about budget in order to, so that the board can look at budget areas. And do we have a budget committee that we can work with Barbara or something? Because I would like for us to at least report in to the PMB that we are seriously looking at budget areas. And I don't know whether Barbara and Tracy can at least have some people to try to help do that because, you know, we are charged with coming back to the PMB.
Barbara and then Tracy.
Well, I have spoken with Maria about the process and suggested that maybe a department head group could meet and start with this. She said that the process was a little different in the past. Mm-hmm. And so far, that's the discussion that we've had. And I've attended a few of the National Finance Committee meetings. And as Tracy put out a schedule of certain times that are due various things. So if people want to meet and talk about this, fine.
Okay. Because we were to come back to LaVarne with...
Yeah. Can I address?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
So the Finance Committee will be meeting on the 22nd. The timeline is not, just to clarify, my timeline. It's a timeline that was passed by the PNB in, 2006. And what we were going to do was revisit it at the meeting on the 22nd and see, is this realistic? Do we need to move things around? So we will have a final timeline on the 22nd of March. So it may make sense to empanel, as it were, an LSB Finance Committee once you have a clearer idea of what the schedule is going to be. I think it would be good to have an LSB Finance Committee. I would recommend it. But in terms of when things will need to be back from the LSB to the Finance Committee and what the approximate timeline is for sort of hitting points, we'll be a little clearer mm-hmm. about that after the 22nd. Mm-hmm. Also, the Finance Committee will be doing quarterly reviews. Mm-hmm. Barbara's going to be preparing those, and presumably they'll also... be reported back to the LSB. So we'll be embarking on that shortly, and we should have KPFAs done in the next month, and then would follow with the second quarter review.
I have one other comment.
Okay.
I attended a few of the phone meetings before the end of the last term, the group, and then this term has just started. And when I first attended meetings, there was I asked the question about our budget, which didn't get reviewed by the LSB, and I said, is there a process for resubmitting or reviewing a budget, and initially got a very firm answer of no. However, I later noticed there was discussion of some other stations' budget needing still work, and people on the Finance Committee said, well, we need to make sure that this LSB gets to review it again. And I made the comment, I'm really glad to hear that, because I think that's a proper process. And it seems now that there's even some discussion about at the time of drawing up new budgets, there will be also the process of reviewing the budgets that exist as to whether or not they're logical and are there things that need to be changed. So I feel as though there is some movement and change in the committee and the way that they intend to work.
Marty.
Yes, I have Mal.
As far as the budgetary process goes for next year, it seems to me that the budget initially at least should come from the station. I mean, it's their budget that we're talking about. They know how they need to spend money. So whatever the process has been in the past, it seems obvious to me that the budget has to start there. I think the board can have input to that and review it, but it's not our budget. It's not the board's budget. It's the station's budget.
Thank you. Tracy.
Just to clarify, the Los Angeles station, KPFK, will, by the way, have its budget finalized within the next 2 weeks. We have a deadline by April 15th, and we intend to surpass it. That budget was never passed by the Finance Committee. It was never passed by the PNB. By the Board of Directors of the Foundation, KPFA's was. So it's not the same process. Likely the idea will be to get the 2011 budget from the LSB by about, I would say, at the latest July 31st. Ideally, that means that the LSB should begin reviewing it. 2011, 2012, right. Ideally, that probably means the LSB should start reviewing it in June, and it suggests that the time to start preparing it is really May. So it is fairly fairly in front of us.
Okay.
Whatever process you develop for doing it.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Pam.
Yeah, so I'm a little confused by what Tracy just said. KPFK, you're saying, hasn't had their budget passed, and yet our budget was passed without consultation with us much sooner? How did this kind of thing happen? And
because the Finance Committee did not find KPFK's submitted budget acceptable. They did find the budget that was put in by Simon Pius acceptable, so they passed it.
But they didn't feel they had to come back and consult with us, but they're consulting with KPFK.
No, they're not consulting with KPFK.
There's something wrong with this. I just want to express a lot of us are very disturbed by that and should be.
There's no consultation with KPFK's LSB. It will come to the NFC regardless of what KPFK's LSB does or does not do with it. They did not review any budget. You reviewed a budget on October 15th and passed a number of resolutions regarding that budget. They haven't been through that process.
Go back and forth. Okay. Yeah, please. Okay. Andrea, you made a suggestion that we establish a local finance committee.
Yeah, budget committee.
Budget committee.
A small budget committee.
Okay.
To work with, so we can look at and analyze somewhat on what we did, we were doing today, and asking questions about the budget.
Okay.
Everybody needs to know that.
Who loves this document? So let me ask, is there any objection on the board to setting up a local finance committee? Does anyone object to doing that? Okay, very good. Then I'm willing at this point to populate that committee with volunteers. Do I have some volunteers?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got Andrea Turner, Mal Bernstein. Somebody, there was a hand down there. Susie? Oh, no, okay. Tracy and Anthony, okay? All right, you go have at it. Come back and tell us all about it, okay? Barbara has to be on the committee. Okay. All right, we're ready to move on now to the KFCF report. Rich?
Thank you. Well, we finally got our payment from KPFA for the last few months, and I can breathe again. I was getting kind of nervous. We are working on some benefits for KFCF. We have author Sasha Lilly coming down to promote her book next month as a benefit. We've asked Walter Turner if he'll be the speaker at our annual banquet. I haven't heard back from him yet on that, but I think it'd be fun to have Walter down. He's been on the air for a long time. He does great work, and I think it'd be great for our listeners to get a chance to meet him. And I'm looking forward to that. We have a bunch of outreach things we've been doing. We just had the Mardi Gras Parade and the Rogue Fringe Festival, and we had a presence there. We've got the Gay Pride Parade coming up in June. We have a bunch of Cesar Chavez events coming up, the Peace Rally today. There is a Coming Out for Justice event next month, Stone Fruit Festival, the Slow Food Festival, and about a half dozen other things we're working on. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. Are there any questions? Anybody want to ask Fresno any questions? Thank you always for coming, and thank you for doing the sound today. David Gans is out of town, as I said, on a job, and so Rich Withers and Laura Privis took over and did the sound for us, and I appreciate it very much. Of course.
What would you have a few words to say about the fundraising returns you get from events or the community support return you get?
We get pretty good response when we're out at events handing out literature. You know, a lot of it's just handing out literature, telling people about the station. Sometimes, depending on the events, sometimes we walk around handing out flyers. Other times we'll have a table and people, you know, come to the table. Fundraising, it varies depending on the event. Some events we, you know, may only make a couple hundred dollars on, but then, you know, sometimes it may be more of a PR thing too. In other cases, you know, we may make a few thousand dollars, like the annual banquet we usually do, because we tie that in with not only having the banquet, but we have a silent auction and a raffle and some other things like that tied into it to raise some money, and that seems to help. And I think we did about $4,000 on our last banquet, so that was kind of nice.
Okay. Ready to move on? Okay. So we're now at old business. We have four resolutions that were left over from last time. We didn't take them up because the makers of the resolutions weren't present at the meeting, and that didn't seem fair to us to vote on resolutions when we made them couldn't speak about them. And I will take...
I'm sorry.
So I propose that we take them up in the order listed, which is not exactly the order in which they appear on your yellow sheets. So the first resolution on programming policy, which was submitted by Akio, is on the last page of the yellow sheets. A point of order? Sure.
The maker of motion 3 isn't here, but at least on the telephone, if you want to take my word for it, he did not object to the motion coming up for discussion.
Oh, okay.
He was willing to let another member motivate it.
On harassment or threats to station
staff. Yeah, he said there was no reason to postpone it.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. Okay. We're not taking that up now. We're dealing with resolution number 1 on programming policy. So, Akio, you want to speak to this motion?
Well, in light of what General Manager said today about the Programming Council, so I'm just going to table this one.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So this is tabled until further notice. Now we're taking up the resolution on budget policy, which is submitted by Henry Knorr and Tracy Rosenberg, which is on the third page of your packet. And does one of you want to... perhaps let me do this, just for clarity. I'm going to ask the secretary to read the motion and then ask the makers of the motion to motivate it, okay?
So this is the resolution on budget policy. There are two parts. Part one, it is the policy of the KPFA local station board to engage in a mid-year budget review to track the fiscal year. This review will encompass mid-year revenue projections and mid-year expense projections and will be carried out every year on April 15th or as soon as possible thereafter. Number two, it is the policy of the KPFA LSB to send a list of budget priorities to its finance committee or if there is no local finance committee, to the national finance committee by no later than April 30th each year to guide the budget development process. Budget priorities may be offered by members of the LSB and should be endorsed by at least 8 sitting members prior to submission.
I had a question.
Oh, well, hold on. So does somebody want to move the adoption of this motion?
Yeah.
Okay. And is there a second? Okay, so Tracy moved and Henry seconded. So the motion is now properly before you. And I would ask the makers of the motion if they'd like to give a little introduction, and then we'll take questions and discussion.
Let me just address the two parts slightly separately. The motivation for the first one is that in past years, KPFA's actual finances have deviated quite dramatically from the budget document that we passed in the summer or early fall. And the honest truth, I think, is that the board didn't track that, try to understand it, try to urge corrections if that was possible, or use that information in preparation for the following year's budget. So I think this is a general, the part one here is a general sense of trying to get us to do our jobs more effectively, our job of budgeting. Part two addresses a particular bugaboo of mine, which is that in the past, the way the budget process has worked, we've gotten, 20 or 30 page spreadsheet, usually very late in the game under the gun of a deadline, and our scrutiny, such as it was, mostly consisted of trying to ferret out a few numbers that looked anomalous compared to past years and so on. There was not a process that gave us any effective input in sort of planning how the station was going to use its resources. To give one concrete example very briefly, there are some of us who believe that the station, even considering its financial straits, does need to invest more of whatever resources it has available in its website. There has been no way for us to, although I agree with Mal that in some sense the budget has to come from the station, if we're to have any effective influence on it, it has to be done earlier on instead of the when we get that very elaborate spreadsheet with a few days or a week to review it. So the goal of part two is to get us to formulate some general priorities that we can feed back then to the station management and the business office, and try in the hopes that they will fold those priorities into the budget as they prepare it, and if not, that we get to have some discussion about why not and get to understand the trade-offs and be in a better position to, if the majority of the board so chooses, to actually make some meaningful changes in the budget when we finally get it.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Okay. I'm going to open the floor for discussion. I just want to ask the makers of the motion that in light of the fact that we just established a local finance committee, if they're willing to remove the parenthetical phrase, if there is no local finance committee, because now there is a local finance committee. Tracy.
I'll address the parenthetical.
I mean, theoretically, yes. It's just that motions are potentially for the long term, and they're both have and haven't been local finance committees in various years. So the parenthetical is meant to address not just this year, but future scenarios.
That's fine.
But it's not a deal breaker for me.
Okay. Hold on. You got to be recognized to call the question. Okay.
Hold on. It's okay. Not a race. That was a weird sound. Anyway, I think Henry motivated the motions well. There's a part of me that would like it, that is considering that maybe these need to be divided into two motions because they are not similar matters. They're just both about the budget. but they really don't necessarily need to be one consolidated motion.
Unless a member of the body requests separation, I think it's fine to leave it as one motion, unless a member of the body requests separation.
Okay, well, let's go through the rest of the discussion and see if
okay.
any of that.
All right. So, Jack.
Simple question I always get confused with this. When it talks about year, from which month until which month, what is our physical or fiscal year?
October 1st through September.
October 1st through September 30th.
It's just like the federal government.
30th.
Well, let's hope not.
Okay. All right.
It's fiscal, Jack.
I know. He knows.
As opposed to mental?
Yes.
He's just being difficult. Okay. Mal Bernstein.
Call the question.
All right. Is there any objection to coming to a vote on this motion? Seeing none, I'll just ask members of the body to vote on this by a show of hands, all right? And then we can see if that'll work. All those in favor, please raise your hands. I don't even think you need to count. It looks like unanimous. Are there any objections? Let me do it that way. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Motion passes, no objections. Okay, so now the next motion we're dealing with is the resolution on harassment of or threats to station staff submitted by Richard Phelps. And I'll ask the secretary to read the motion, please.
Resolution on harassment of or threats to station staff. In the event of a claim of sexual or racial discrimination or harassment or violent conduct or threats of violence by or against any member of the paid or unpaid staff at KPFA, the KPFA general manager will notify the local station board immediately, omitting the names of the parties, and provide a confidential report to the local station board detailing actions taken in response to the complaint and their compliance with the personnel handbook in no less than 90 days following notification of the complaint. In the event a complaint is by or against the general manager, the national office is requested to follow the same protocol with regard to the complaint.
All right. So first I'm asking, is there someone willing to move this motion? So Tracy? Okay, and is there a second? Is there a second for the motion? Okay, Sharam seconds. All right, floor is open for discussion. Khan.
I'm not comfortable with it, and the reason I'm not comfortable with it is because it. I don't know if this is the job of the local station board. It seems to me that this is the job of management. And in the case, if there's a union involved or the unpaid staff organization or anything like that, you get the LSB involved in this kind of micromanaging what goes on in the station. I am not comfortable with that at all, and I don't think that's in our job description. And I can see this, you know, you look at it and you say, yeah, sure, everybody knows what's going on. But this is a local station board, and we're going to get reports. That means there's going to be discussion of, and that means that actually there may be resolutions passed having to do with what management is doing at the station, along with legal counsel, various organizations that are involved in it. What's the LSB doing in that situation? I am not comfortable with this at all.
We have Dan Siegel and then Andrea Turner and Tracy Rosenberg on the list. Dan.
So I agree with Khan and just add two other quick points. One is, as much as I hate to say this, the LSB has not been very good about confidential information. And I think it poses a threat to have these kinds of reports floating around and possibly getting out, which could cause liability. But also, you know, just on the question of division of responsibility within the organization, This is an area where the station manager is not responsible to us, but is responsible to the executive director of the foundation. And I don't think we should be getting in the way of that reporting responsibility around personnel problems.
Thank you. Andrea, followed by Tracy.
Some LSBs throughout the network, they have another committee that's called the Committee of Inclusion. And sometimes that committee would be the receiver of complaints, and they would review it before it would go anywhere, and it work with the GM and the HR person, and they would hear out that complaint. We don't have a committees of inclusion, but that may be something that we could set up later, and you may want to think about doing that. And I could get you the definition, but I believe it is in our bylaws, I think. Yeah. So that's one way to handle it, and that's a way that some other network stations are handling discrimination. I wouldn't go with this. I agree with, Con as well as Dan on this. Thank you.
Tracy.
Well, I know things go around in circles, but we just had a brief discussion of lawsuits, and we had a brief discussion of lawsuits being resolved, and we had honest, anguished questions about why do these things keep happening? What needs to be done to change this? And frankly, what needs to be done is that actions need to be taken in response to the complaint rather than having the complaints ignored, and the compliance with the personnel handbook needs to be existent and documented. I believe that this motion is simply an attempt for the board to make sure that actions are being taken in response to complaints, that those actions are in compliance with the personnel handbook in no less than 90 days, and that there is documentation of that fact. That's why we're having to settle all these lawsuits. That's why they're all being filed. So my recommendation would be that if the board just doesn't want to go tis-tis, that it understand that it has responsibilities to verify that the correct actions are being taken in situations like that. And the way that you do that is by asking the relevant parties to provide a confidential report to you. Otherwise, you are trusting that things are being done without verifying, and trust but verify is one of those basic axioms that is true and couldn't possibly be truer in response to a not-for-profit board of directors, especially one that is pummeled on an ongoing basis with lawsuits, and lawsuits that are primarily about people not taking actions and not being in compliance. So I can't really imagine why anyone would not support this.
Okay. I'm going to call on Rich Withers next, and then I see Cynthia, Jack, and Tanya. Okay. Rich.
I have a couple of questions now. It talks about the personnel handbook, and I don't know how current that is. I remember the previous general manager we had was talking about redoing the handbook, or maybe he was talking about HR policies. I know he was talking about redoing something for the staff, a handbook. I thought it was a personnel handbook he was talking about. And the other thing is, does Pacifica have an HR person now? And were there any HR policies regarding all this that were ever put into place, documented, or anything on that? And the third thing is, it says general manager. Shouldn't we also include the term or interim general manager?
Okay. So there is no HR person at Pacifica currently, as I understand it. Okay. That's the only question that you asked that I know the answer to. I don't know what the makers of the motion want to do about the IGM. The next speaker on the list is Cynthia Johnson.
Well, it seems like this would be...
Oh, sorry. It seems like this would be a good preventative. If I remember correctly, we did spend a certain amount of time talking about these lawsuits, and even though I need to look Rich Moore at the personnel handbook that we have, I really would like, this seems like some good tools to try to eliminate those lawsuits, and it doesn't seem like it would be very threatening in any way. So I would hope that we could support this.
So I find myself on the horns of a dilemma with regard to this resolution. And it goes something like this. One part of it says that we would like, one part of my dilemma says that we would like management to be efficient and smart and expeditious in addressing these kinds of complaints. And I wish that the resolution on updating the personnel handbook came before this one, but it didn't, and there you go. So we would like that to happen, because management being able to handle these kinds of complaints expeditiously is the first line of defense, in my view, against things coming to lawsuits. So in the first place, it seems to me that we're trying to ask management to manage better, and to manage better in accordance with a better set of rules and processes, right? All right, now, then it seems to me that asking for the LSB to be a party to this process is asking the LSB to be, in effect, a check on bad management. And this is kind of problematic for me, because this LSB has only an indirect impact on who is or who is not a manager. So it's a problem for me to put the LSB directly in this line. Now, what Andrea said before of having some kind of committee of inclusion, which is a specific committee set up by this board that works in conjunction with management under a confidentiality agreement, and is accepted by management as being in the loop under the conditions of confidentiality, is a way that I would rather go than have the entire LSB be made privy to complaints that are filed within the station. So I accept the legitimacy of the concern of the motion. But I think that the way that the motion is placed doesn't work. So I'm going to vote against it, accepting the legitimacy of the concern.
Okay, Khan followed by Tanya.
The problem with the motion is that it's a straitjacket. We'll notify the station board immediately, and no less than 90 days following the notification of the complaint. That is putting a straitjacket on management to investigate this case, to make a report on it. I mean, this is not what we should be doing. Eventually, we can get, if there is a major case, we eventually hear about it. We go into executive session and we hear about it. But this is not doing that. This is setting up a procedure which basically puts management in a straitjacket to do this. This is not what we should be doing.
Okay, I have Tanya followed by Sharam.
I agree with Jack and Con.
I agree with Jack and Con, and so I'm not going to take up the board's time.
Okay. Thank you, Tanya. Okay, Sharam.
Okay, it seems to me it's a reasonable motion, and I support it. I think some of the points made in terms of, I don't have an issue with an inclusion committee, if that's what you're proposing. But I think inclusion committee eventually has to report to the full board. I mean, it can't just be in some sort of a enclave out there, you know, autonomous enclave of some sort, right? I mean, this is what we do, the personnel committee, right? So I don't have an issue with modifying the language such that, you know, the first, in other words, the first reporting place would be the inclusion committee. But I think the spirit of this thing is very clear. It's not micromanaging in the sense that it's not talking about any grievance in the station, at the station. It's talking about specific grievances that have to do with harassment cases, right? And those are, the history shows they have become the place that we're really bleeding on those things, you know what I mean? Because they have been very expensive lawsuits. And honestly, part of it has to do with the way they have been handled from the very outset, the way they have been handled at the management level of the local station. And I think it would be prudent for us to sort of, we are not really asking, I don't think the way I'm reading it, that they actually resolve these cases within like 60 days or 90 days or 120 days. What we're asking is that we would be notified, and there's an element of trying to keep the confidentiality so that, you know, the information would not be leaking outside. You know, so that this, you know, basically we know that there's some sort of a complaint being filed. And essentially, we'll be asking the management, what actions have you taken, as opposed to sitting on these cases, which there is a history of it, and that's why we are hurting so much. Thank you.
Okay, Tracy, followed by Pam.
Very fast. Judy L. from the bylaws for local station boards. I guess it's page 17 of at least this version of the bylaws. Anyway, it's duty L. As you know, we have duties A through M. Duty L is to ensure that the station works diligently towards the goal of diversity in staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free workplace. A discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace. So it is our job to work is to ensure the station is working diligently towards the goal of the maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace. In terms of Con's point about a straitjacket on management, I just want to address that our admittedly pathetic personnel policy from 1993 is that straitjacket. It says that management is required to take specific actions in response to complaints within 90 days. That is also the straitjacket of the law. And it is in our interest to make entirely sure as a board of directors that we straitjacket our management into doing things that we must do. And there must be a compliant response within 90 days. There must be actions taken. There must be documentations of those actions. That's not recreational. That's not optional. That's the way that harassment complaints must be dealt with by not-for-profit organizations. So I think we have to be careful about characterizing as a straitjacket the responsibilities and the duties that we are responsible for under the law, and which we will, frankly, get lawsuits filed against us if we don't do.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of inquiry. What law?
Wait, I think I was next.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
look,
we can have a point of inquiry.
Yeah. Tracy, what law? The question is what law are you referring to? Title 7, Title 9, what are you referring to?
No, I'm trying to grasp what law.
Your own personnel handbook, you need to follow it. 501c3.
I'm sorry, did you say the law or the personnel handbook?
Okay.
Number one, your personnel handbook. Okay. If you are guilty of not taking the actions indicated in your personnel handbook, you are creating a problem with yourself. Second of all, I believe that the Fair Employment and Housing Complaint Division requires a response by the management within 90 days to the filing of a complaint.
I'd be very surprised about that. Okay, Pam.
I call the question.
The question has... Are we ready to come to a vote on this? Does anyone object to coming to a vote on this? Thank you. Okay. So we'll follow the same procedure we followed on the previous motion. All those in favor, please raise your hands.
Six.
Okay. All those opposed, please raise your hands. You're voting.
Someone says, what's the motion? Shouldn't you give them a second to find out?
Yeah. We're voting. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, okay.
Okay. All right. So, motion fails.
Abstain.
I'm sorry. I forgot the abstains. Okay. Three abstains. Tracy, I take it you want to move this motion? Okay. Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Cynthia Johnson seconds. Okay. I'll ask the secretary to read the motion, please.
Wake up.
He was asleep.
Okay. Resolution on KPFA Personnel Handbook. The LSB instructs the general manager of KPFA to oversee the revision and updating of KPFA's 1996 personnel handbook within 6 months of the passage of this motion. The update will specify portions of the handbook that apply to CWA members, non-CWA paid employees, both permanent and temporary, and members of the unpaid staff organization. On completion, the handbook is to be distributed to all members of the paid and unpaid staff at KPFA with a signature form to be returned within 30 days stating that they have read and understood the contents. Return of the form is a requirement to remain a member of the paid or unpaid staff at KPFA.
All right. So the motion has been read, and Tracy wants to motivate. Please, I'm going to ask you to be really brief, okay?
Yeah, no, it basically has been motivated. I just think that the final version of the handbook might be 1993, not 1996, but there's conflicting stuff about that.
Why don't you say it's previous.
That's fine. I think the reasons for doing it are obvious.
And then I have two questions. My personal opinion is that I don't think we can instruct the general manager to do anything. So I think we have to ask him, request, beg.
Recommend?
Recommend.
I'm happy with recommend.
Okay. Okay. And my other question is I don't believe that you can fire somebody for refusing to so that the return of the form is a requirement to remain a member of the paid or unpaid staff at KPFA. You cannot terminate somebody's employment for refusing to sign this document. I don't believe it. If I were a union steward, I'd fight it like crazy. So I don't know what to suggest except to say to take that sentence out. That's my recommendation. Okay, I'm calling people now. Tracy, go ahead. Oh, you've already motivated. Okay, I have Mal and Jack.
I was going to move to amend the motion to, in line one, change the word instructs to recommends, but also to end the motion after the word KPFA in the fourth line from the bottom. On completion, the handbook is to be distributed to all members of the paid and unpaid staff of KPFA, period, end of motion.
Right.
That's my substitute.
Right.
I agree. Well, that's
actually.
Okay, hold on.
Well, It's not a substitute. It's an amendment. And so we take up the – so first of all, is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Okay. So the amendment has been seconded. We take up the discussion and vote on the amendment first. And Mal may motivate it.
The first thing is that the last sentence is, seems to be not only questionable from the an employment law standpoint, but it's questionable from the standpoint of the LSB setting that kind of personnel policy. We can't do that. It's just not within our guidelines. So that's why I made the motion.
Is there any other further discussion on the amendment? We're only discussing Mal's amendment. Henry and then Tracy.
As with the motion about the sexual harassment cases, I think the only way to understand this is in historical context. I kind of agree that I'm not comfortable going into detail about return within 30 days and so on and so on. But the problem that this is trying to address is that we've had occasions in the past where materials were supposedly distributed, but then people claimed they didn't have them, they had never heard of it, they'd never seen it. And in some cases that may have been true, in some cases it may not have been true. There was never any way to know. There was no, it didn't give neither the management distributing the document nor the recipients seemed to be taking it seriously. So this motion, like the other one, perhaps bends in the direction of more detail, but the purpose behind it, which I support, is to, and which I think the amendment vitiates, is to get people to just do it. You know, to distribute on the management side, to read on the side of the staff, to acknowledge that they're accepting a responsibility, and so on. And I think if we just say they should update the personnel policy, we've done that before, and there's an awful large danger that it just wanders off into the ether and nothing ever happens.
A lot of people. Tracy, Pam, Con, and Dan.
I think maybe.
Oh, Jack. No. Are you? Excuse me. Hold on one second, Tracy. I thought you were
first
speaking.
First times before second times.
Hold on. Tracy was motivating, so this is the first time she's spoken on the motion. This is on the amendment. Jack, were you speaking? I thought you were speaking on the main motion, not on the amendment.
Right.
Thank you.
On the main motion.
Thank you very much. I have a separate list for that. Okay. So, and was there someone else who wanted to be on the list? I got Dan. Anyone else? Okay, Tracy.
I think it might be a more sensible amendment to end it at, let's see, right, at contents. So with a signature form returned within 30 days, and they have read and understood the contents. That's fairly basic protocol, and it is the way that you, in fact, document that the personnel policy has, in fact, been distributed to each and every employee. Otherwise, you can't prove that. So I think that might be a more sensible amendment. I'm perfectly willing to let go of the last sentence, but I'd like somehow to get into the process an amendment that ends with contents. Be that
yeah.
a...
Yeah, that's reasonable. Right.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay, good. All right. So we're now deleting the last sentence.
Right.
Okay.
And
everybody, nobody has any problems with that? Okay, the next person on the...
Did we say interim general manager?
No.
I don't think it matters.
Oh, don't worry.
Yeah, I personally don't think it matters. So now, Pam?
I'm fine with either amendment, and I just hope everybody doesn't have to say something about this over and over, because I think it's acceptable as amended.
Okay. So I have Con on the list. Okay, Dan.
I agree.
Okay. Are we ready to come to a vote?
Yeah.
I love it here. Okay.
Fine.
Okay, this is the vote on the amendment only. Are there any objections to removing the final sentence? Thank you. Any objections? Cool. Now we're on the main motion. Does anyone feel that they still need to speak on the main motion?
No.
Thank you. Oh, Jack.
No. You do not.
We have other things.
Okay. come on, come on. Hold it. Okay. Your colleagues are attempting to influence you, but I'm
I don't pay attention to anything.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So I have a slight problem. Please. Because the update will specify portions of the handbook that, now put in a bracket there for what I have a problem to, apply to CWA members, non-CWA paid employees, both permanent and temporary, and members of the unpaid staff organization, and then put a bracket around that. What I would like to suggest, which I hope is friendly, is to say apply to managerial staff, unionized staff, and unpaid staff. And the reason
for... No, keep talking in the mic.
I'm sorry. The reason for doing this is that I think that the construction of what's in the original motion is awkward. For example, is awkward, and I think that what I'm suggesting is less awkward.
I have a question about the use of the phrase unpaid staff organization. Because I believe there are unpaid staff at the station who are not members of the unpaid staff organization. Isn't that correct? And so are they not included in this distribution? That's my question. Tracy.
Well, the first point I would make is that there are non-CWA paid employees who are not managerial. So it's important that this covers both members of the CWA and pick up temporary people who work under 20 hours a week, et cetera. You need to include a category for that, both permanent and temporary. Members of the unpaid staff organization is meant to differentiate people who work 30 hours in a year from those who do not, and to suggest that people who volunteer less than 30 hours per year and who therefore wouldn't qualify as members of the unpaid staff organization would not be covered by this personnel handbook.
But isn't it true that there are people who qualify as unpaid staff who are not members of the UPSO?
No. Anyone who qualifies falls under the characterization members of the unpaid staff organization.
Okay, I didn't
know. It covers
that.
All individuals. It's a 30-hour cutoff.
Okay,
is what that's indicating.
All right, fine.
Okay. I withdraw my
Thank you. Okay, now I believe we're ready to come to a vote on the main motion. Is that right? Are there any objections to the main motion? Good. Are there any abstentions? Does anyone want to abstain on the main motion? Thank you very much. Excellent.
We have now finished old business, and we are ready to move on to new business.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. Okay, here we go. The first item under new business is station communications. So let me explain. I'm going to explain what happened here, and then I'm going to call on Craig. What happened earlier this month was that a number of people received an email message from the Morning Mix. This is a printout of it. It says, "The Morning Mix preview for the week of March 7th, KPFA Morning Mix," and this particular one happens to be addressed to Craig, who provided me with this and asked me about it. When I asked at the station, I discovered that a number of people had complained about having received this email, and in fact, I received some personal emails from people telling me that they had received this email and they wanted to know how they got on the list. From that, that's the extent of my involvement in this, and I'm going to ask Craig to explain what he learned. The documents are going around. Okay? So now I'm, with your indulgence, Craig will explain. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so
some documents are coming around. Unfortunately, some of the copies are rather limited, so you'll have to share. I apologize for that. Just starting with the email that is has the KPFA Morning Mix banner, I just want to work the way our way through there. This is an email that went out advertising people who would be on the Morning Mix. This came to me at my Calder99@berkeley.edu address. That's the address that I used to subscribe to KPFA, so that's where I found it. This came, as you can see, appears to come from KPFA, has a KPFA banner, call numbers. Down at the very end, there's contact information for KPFA, phone number, and so forth. This was sent by an organization called Salsa Labs, which is an email marketing outfit that works for nonprofits, and they work with all sorts of nonprofits around the country. So that's how I received this. I was a little when I received this, and the reason I mentioned it to Margie is that I was, first of all, perplexed to see that the sender here appeared to be morningmix@kpfa.org. I wasn't aware that there was such an email address. But especially the reply to address does not go to KPFA. It goes to morningmix@gmail.com, which if anybody is familiar with clues about spamming, that's absolutely a telltale sign that, you know, email has to come and go back to the organization that's sending it. And and I've worked extensively in other jobs with sending mass email to membership organizations, and this is one thing that we were always very careful about. So this is not going back to KPFA, Morning Mix at KPFA. This is going to some other email account at Gmail. So this was brought to the attention of station staff and they started investigating, they contacted Salsa Labs, and there are a few copies of this email going around, and Salsa Labs reported that, in fact, this email had come via Media Alliance, not KPFA, and they reported that various logons associated with Media Alliance had been used. So that was a matter of concern to me, number one. And it raises a number of questions number one, how did Media Alliance get my email address? I have never signed up for Media Alliance. I know many people who got this never signed up for Media Alliance. And if this was raised, if this was approved by KPFA, why didn't KPFA send it out under their own name? Why did it go out, purporting to be KPFA, but actually coming from Media Alliance? And it raises questions about, KPFA sharing email and so forth, and why and how Media Alliance got my email and emails of others and what they intend to do with it and how KPFA can get it back. And I think these are questions that should concern anybody, either listeners or the LSB, whether or not you favor the Morning Mix or the Morning Show. It seems to raise some serious questions about organizational control and accountability. Among other things, people who respond to the Gmail address saying, take me off your list, I'm angry, I don't want to get this. Are those emails coming back to KPFA? People who subscribe to this Morning Mix broadcast, are those emails going to KPFA? It raises questions about divergence of email lists. So if this was approved, it seems to me there's some serious questions about organizational control and accountability. And if this wasn't approved, how did Media Alliance get my email and the email address of many others? That seems definitely improper. So that's the reason I raised this with Margie, and that's what I'll another document here that just confirms this is somebody who did try to unsubscribe. Clicked on an HTML link that was buried in the text of the message, and it took them to a Media Alliance webpage. So, again, what is Media Alliance doing with my email and our emails and sending it out purporting to be KPFA? So that's the question.
Thank you. There is no motion on the floor, so I'm going to request that the body approve an open discussion on this matter for 10 minutes, and then we'll see where we are. Are there any objections to discussing it for 10 minutes?
None.
Okay, good. All right, the floor is open for discussion. Tanya.
I'd just like to answer. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not that technologically sophisticated, but I still am confused as to how my email address got somehow, you know, went through all that you described to get to Media Alliance. So, Tracy, I would just like, to the chair, I would just like to ask, as your Media Alliance person, how, do you know anything about this? Can you explain it? Or the burden isn't on you. I'm just asking you if you know and can explain. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
I've been requested numerous times by lots of people at KPFA and lots of people at Pacifica National to loan KPFA and Pacifica the use of my email blasting account. I've done that numerous times, including Pacifica's Al Jazeera press release, which the whole station knew about was sent that way. If people, and I've sent press releases on behalf of other organizations as well. I didn't send it, but I gave access to the Morning Mix folks to do what they felt they were doing. A number of the shows have sent out promotional emails. I'm on mailing lists for a number of them. I never got freaked out about how the Women's Magazine got my address. They send me emails about their show all the time. As for who they sent it to and where they got the addresses, my assumption is that it would be the KPFA newsletter list. That's my best assumption. It's in a special, discreet group on the Salsa account. It doesn't get other materials, only the KPFA materials sent by KPFA folk. But as I said, it's a resource. We're not for profit. We're happy to make it available to people on request. And it was requested by the Morning Mix folks. I didn't feel there was any reason to say no.
Okay. So I have a speaker's list. So far I have Mal Bernstein, followed by Cynthia Johnson.
Mal Bernstein, followed by Cynthia Johnson.
It seems to me to be highly improper to send out an email which purports to come to KPFA, but which has an email return which doesn't go to KPFA. That's just plain wrong.
Okay.
I don't want to be communicating with organization B if I think I'm communicating with organization A. Just it's fraud.
Okay, Cynthia.
On the subject of fraud.
Cynthia, I'm sorry.
Sharam is asking for plain information.
I'm a little unclear. I mean, what's the point of this exercise? I'm sorry, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, if it's something that has to be the management of the station, shouldn't the management be the one?
I raised it, and I asked Craig to make his report because I was contacted by a number of people who were concerned about this matter and who had the experiences I had of trying to unsubscribe and finding that I went that took me to Media Alliance, and I had the same questions. And I was contacted by a number of people, and I told those people that I would, you know, put it on the agenda, and we'd have a discussion about it, and I could report back to them what we learned. Okay. She said she didn't get any unsubscribes. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask Tracy to hold on, and I'll give her a chance to talk if she raises her hand and wants to be on the list. Okay. The next person on the list is Cynthia. I'm sorry, Cynthia.
Well, just briefly, if we're going to talk about organizational accountability, and I think we could have a day-long discussion about the things that I hear on that I hear on the station sometimes, and I think that this is a management issue, and there's many, many issues that we could talk about this. I mean, there's so many things that I hear on the radio, I mean, on KPFA, that just sound like, I mean, this doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'm really wanting to talk about organizational accountability at some time, and this is maybe some issue of it, but there's so many of them. constantly. I mean, listening to the news last Thursday, I could hardly believe it. So let's be a little appropriate about what we're doing. You know, I'm just really ask us all to do that.
Okay. Are there any further speakers on this matter? Okay. With the permission of the board, I will simply send a note to the management of the station saying that this issue was raised, we had a question, and asking them to look into it. If no one objects to that, I would do that on behalf of the board. Okay, Tracy.
Two other questions? Okay. I mean, in general, I could be wrong, but my understanding was that management in general encouraged individual programmers to promote their shows and encouraged them in doing so. Several of the shows do send out emails. Most of them do not use KPFA addresses because KPFA does not have an email blast server. It does not send out a newsletter on an ongoing basis. Pacifica doesn't have one either. Your Al Jazeera promotional news release was sent because someone called me frantically and said, can I borrow your email blaster? We don't have one. You guys have severe technological limitations that prevents people from promoting their own shows. I think you should get your own email blast server. Then you wouldn't have these problems. They don't cost that much. So just as a recommendation there, because it's a problem, and it affects a lot of programmers, and programmers should be promoting their shows. Just in terms of the numbers, this was given to me by the Morning Mix folks, so I'm not vouching for its accuracy. But according to them, the list that I believe they were given on request of KPFA, I guess, newsletter subscribers, and we should be sending out a newsletter anyway, it was 5,111 people. I guess they sent out two, is that correct? One on March 7th and one on February 28th? I think that's what I saw.
I didn't get the first one.
Yeah, the total number of unsubscribes was 175 out of 5,111. So just to put numbers in perspective, that's 3%, and that's pretty low for an unsolicited email. So my guess would be that in terms of the scope of this problem, it's not really that severe, and really what should be going on is proper processing of the unsubscribes, and then really encouragement to people to promote the station and promote programs. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Okay. Pam is next, and then Tom.
Sorry. Okay. This wire keeps getting. Yeah, so here, to me, it's not a simple question. It is kind of an interesting question, and the idea is specifically, I mean, sometimes we set ourselves above other organizations, and sometimes we don't make it. But in this case, we're not even equal in terms of sending out emails that don't tell where they really come from, how the email was gotten, and who they're going back to. In other words, no control over the function. If, in fact, Media Alliance has been asked to do work for KPFA, then are you then set up as a quasi-management organization, quasi-vendor organization, or some sort of strange combination of animal in there? But the fact that even some LSB members have been turned down as members in Media Alliance, and yet Media Alliance then can have people's emails and use them as they choose, it might work if this were something people were notified of and asked about. But otherwise, I think it's incredibly improper.
Okay. I have two names on the list, Tanya and Sasha, and then I think we'll be out of time for this discussion. Go ahead, Tanya.
Yeah, I just want to say if, in fact, the issue of email blasting by KPFA is – excuse me. If that's the problem, then it seems to me this board should look into KPFA getting its own email blaster. But it seems to me that that's the issue that should have been raised. We need an email blaster because we want to promote these shows and whatever, as opposed to going underground circuitously and going over to Media Alliance and then that coming back the response coming back to Media Alliance. I think that is improper procedurally, but I do think if this is a problem that has now been identified, I think we should do whatever this board can do to push the email blast issue.
Thank you, Tanya. Sasha?
Yeah. I have a feeling we're not going to get to any discussion about a retreat with mediation.
And this topic just sort of reminds me how much that is, in fact, needed. Let's be plain spoken about this. There wouldn't be such a stir if the program that's in, you know, involved in being promoted wasn't the Morning Mix.
I don't agree.
Well, okay, I will put it in my humble opinion. There would not be so much of a fuss. This is a, you know, a divided board. We're divided on a number of things, and that's why hackles were raised. I would follow up on what Cynthia had to say. I mean, some of us find it offensive to have political opinions passed off as news for months at a time on the airwaves, which reaches a much larger audience than this. You know, there's been some fairly, I think, inflammatory language used here against the email that was blasted out. I think the point has been made, and I think we should drop it. I don't think that there would ever be a question of, you know, we need an email blaster being raised on the board level. Let's tell the station to put an email blaster in their budget. We'd be then arguing about whether we were micromanaging or not. So, you know, I think this is just really symptomatic of why we need to stop being so contentious with one another all the time and really stop and talk about what's going on in terms of the factionalism. Thanks.
Okay. We're out of time. I want to ask your indulgence. I would like to ask people to stay for till 10 minutes after the hour so we can have the discussion about the retreat. And I would like to suggest that we put the question of email blasters. I never heard that before. Okay. On the agenda for our next meeting.
I don't think the email blaster is the issue. The issue here is whether really Tracy has gotten control over and that's what we really wanted to know. That was the concern of all this. Not the email blaster, but that in fact she has access to those things. Now maybe she doesn't, but that is definitely an issue that I think is of concern to us. She has used her position in that organization in a partisan way, so we don't like it.
That's right.
Okay, Tracy has to... Then, okay, point of personal privilege. Go ahead, Tracy. I'll call on Hunmi afterwards.
I don't mean to be silly, and maybe some of you don't know this, but you had an Al Jazeera press release sent out announcing to over 800 press outlets and a number of members that Al Jazeera came on air. You couldn't send that either because you didn't have a fax box, because you didn't have an email blaster, so that's how it was sent. So this all happened some many months ago. Your mailing list is in a segregated group. It isn't mixed with any other MA lists, and it's there for use by KPFA-affiliated staff members when they have emails to send. The people who work for the Morning Mix are, in fact, KPFA staff members, and they have access to that list.
Okay,
so can I send one right now?
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, Trace.
Whoa, no crosstalk. No,
that's
cross-talk.
Okay. Let me.
First of all, dude, you're in the audience.
Let me ask Tracy. I need to ask you a question. The question that
second of all, with my permission, yes, you can.
Okay. Tracy,
my equipment.
Tracy, the quest. I understand what you mean when you say the KPFA list is in a segregated thing. The question that Matthew was asking was, do you personally and Media Alliance as an organization have access to those email addresses?
Yep, and I'll never send them a thing.
Well,
okay.
Okay, on me.
I think it is important to have some kind of clarification of what is KPFA's policies is in terms of who has an access to which mailing list. But, yeah. You know, like Tracy said, I don't see anything wrong with promoting the program on KPFA. And second of all, when I was running for the LSB campaign, I remember getting the, card from Save KPFA. And so who gave Save KPFA access to my mailing address and my phone number? But I didn't mind because I'd like to know who's running and what their background is. So please don't interrupt while I'm talking, okay?
Please.
So that's the point I'm trying to make here. You know, I mean, can we please give, you know, fellow board member benefit of doubt? I think the way this is going is somehow they have some kind of, you know, ulterior political motive. And I agree with Sasha completely that I think if this was a morning show, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, you know, I don't remember giving Save KPFA an access to my mailing address. Or I was never informed as a listener. This is before I got elected. As a listener, is it okay for KPFA to give Save KPFA, my mailing address? But I was never informed that. You know, so I think it's part of the failure of the KPFA management to, you know, properly inform the members, you know, what the exact policy is. So.
Okay, thank you. And Hunmi, I want to respond to your question about the mailing that you received. Part of the election process is that any candidate or group of candidates has an opportunity to mail one piece of mail to all KPFA subscribers. The mailing list is not turned over to those candidates. The mailing list is held by a mailhouse. The candidate or the group of candidates submits a piece of material which is then mailed to the subscribers. The candidates and or the slates, whatever the combination is, never has access to those names and addresses. That is not part of the procedure. It is a totally confidential procedure, okay? And it's part of the election process that KPFA engages in. All right? KPFA does have a policy on electronics mail. It's on the web page, and it's been passed around to all of you. I suggest that people read it and think about what it says. And I want to say that for me personally, this had nothing to do with the fact that it came from the Morning Mix. It caught my attention because it came from the Morning Mix, but I would have been as upset and concerned about who had my email address if I had gotten a promotion for anything where I had not given my permission, okay? And I personally initially read it as mail from KPFA. KPFA has my email address. I expect to get mail from KPFA. But when I attempted to unsubscribe to this particular thing, I was directed to a page that said Media Alliance. That concerned me, okay? And I don't care if Media Alliance has my email address. It doesn't make any difference to me. But it raised a red flag in my mind, and I asked, and Craig and I talked about it, and that's why I asked it to be on the agenda today. We are way beyond the time that we set aside for this. I want to ask that we move ahead, and I want to ask people
to move the agenda.
I want to ask people to stay for a few minutes so we can try and get through the rest of new business. All right? Okay. We have to be out of this room at 4:30, which. Okay, so it means no later than 4:20 we have to start cleaning up. Okay, all right, fine. Okay, no problem. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, Sasha wants to introduce the issue of the mediated retreat. Should have said mediated retreat.
Well, I wasn't really prepared to be the one to do that, but I will. I'm entering my fifth year on this board, and at times, as I have said to in an email of a few weeks ago to all of the LSB, at times I have been as guilty of being contentious and ready to start a knockdown, drag-out fight as anyone else. So let's just put that out there. But I think one of the things that I have not done in my years on the board is had any kind of a discussion
amongst the board in terms of what we agree on and what our differences are, even though we know that we are deeply divided and we love to hate one another. And I would really like to have a chance for us with a mediator to, and it seems to me that this would be something that perhaps a small committee of people would put together, kind of a game plan for this, where we could spend a day and we actually had some discussion of what we think our great differences are, or and as well as looking at our similarities and what we do in fact agree on. Programming, for one, seems to be an area of great contention. And yet, having been on this board now in my fifth year, I have never participated in a conversation on the board level in terms of what direction we would like programming to go. Just as a general concept, I understand we're not supposed to micromanage and deal with specifics, but just in terms of in general, do we think we should have more or less news or public affairs program? I mean, we can have these sorts of conversations in general. How much does the quality of a broadcast matter? Do we have differences in that regard? You know, I would like to see us be able to have this discussion, because I think we might find that there are some things that we can, in fact, and do, in fact, agree on. And we might find that our differences perhaps are not as great as we might imagine. One thing I know is that as I look at what we're doing, you know, as Andrew, our new IGM, said, if we don't get it together and work together pretty soon, there will be no Pacifica and KPFA. And I believe that we are rather precariously balanced as well in terms of how that will go. And I think it is time for us to start to try to find a way to work together. I know that there were issues of trust that will be very difficult for us to deal with. But I would really like to propose that we plan on having a board retreat, you know, of a day, where we actually have food and drink and water and coffee and a lunch break and respectable things like that and a mediator, and so that we don't, you know, by 4 o'clock we're all hungry and frazzled and getting on each other's nerves. So I throw that out as an item of discussion, and I think we probably need some sort of a committee put together to look into finding a mediator that hopefully will be neutral, that we can all trust is actually a neutral person, et cetera, and what some of the topics of discussion might be.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay.
Great idea.
I have a motion. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Okay. So attempt to frame the motion? The motion would be that we set up a committee of board members to develop a proposal around a mediated retreat for the board. Is that the motion?
Yes.
And the seconder agrees with that? Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion?
Any volunteers?
All right. Well, let's pass the motion first, and then we'll take volunteers. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Are there any objections to the motion? Thank you, Sasha. Okay. So now I'll take volunteers to be on the committee.
Oh.
Okay, since we are out of time and we need to break down the room, I think I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right, yeah.
Second.
Sorry, is there any objection to adjourning at this time? Thank you all very much. See you in a month.